Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Jonathan de Burke, Butler, joins us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the planet. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Armenia, we're going to next. And first, I should say, there's a protest against the new Prime Minister.
Yes, there were protests. Well, it's a funny end to this story, actually. The protest began on April the 13th, and this was after Armenia's ruling Republican Party voted to bring in the leader of their particular party, a man by the name of Serge Sargsyan. Now, he was brought in as prime minister, and the problem with it was that he was president for two terms, okay?
And didn't he say he'd never be prime minister?
Yeah, he did in 2014 when
that's a mistake Putin never made.
Exactly, yeah. He did this. He said in 2014 that he'd never be prime minister, and this was a year before there was a referendum voting to basically put the focus of leadership, take it away from the presidency and put it onto the prime minister. Okay, so when he came to the end of his second term as president earlier this year, he had a change of heart and a change of mind, and he decided to take up the role of prime minister. Now, it's interesting because the protest started off really small, and then they grew and grew and grew. There was a little bit of violence. 20 people were arrested. Nobody was badly injured. Thankfully, nobody died. But a crucial thing happened over the weekend where members of the army got involved in the protest. Now, they were in full military uniform, but they were unarmed. Now, this was the big incentive.
They were protesting, or they were...
They got involved in the popular protest, basically, right? And he then goes and makes the decision on Monday to resign, right? Which absolutely nobody expected.
Yeah.
Now, there's speculation that there's a few strands to it. You know, the Russians are obviously quite influential in this part of the world. They have two military bases in Armenia. So it could well have been the case, look, there's enough going on in the world. They get a call from Moscow. There's enough going on in the world. Just stand a little bit to the side and go into the background. But, you know, you've got a couple of days under your constitution. You've got 7 days to put forward another prime minister. Why don't you just pick one of your mates and you can just stay in the background and wait until things calm down? And now, I'm speculating as to whether he got the call from Moscow, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. That's what he's done, and now they're going to... We'll see who they put in place. But he is gone in name, but probably not fully in spirit. I mean, he's only 63, so there's a bit of fuel left in the tank yet, shall we say.
Yeah, but I also got the impression that the government were pretty surprised by all these protests, because it doesn't necessarily happen that much in Armenia.
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, they had some... when he was elected, this guy, actually, there was protests, the opposition protests in 2008, during which 10 people actually died. But from what I've read, and I haven't said... I have to say, I haven't read his biography now or a book about him or anything like that, but he seems to have sorted the country out to a level and brought it to a point where it is a little bit more transparent, a little bit more democratic, and is open to these kind of things happening. Like, opposition marches never would have happened 10 years ago, so he's making progress, but it's progress that has ended up relieving him of a job, you know.
The Czech Republic I want to go to now, and this is a story about rum, is it?
Well, officially it's not. Back in 2004, this rum that's very popular in the Czech Republic, or this liqueur, let's call it, it was called Tutsimeki rum. But when the Czech Republic joined the European Union, they had to drop the rum side of it, okay? And it's now just called Tutsimak liqueur. I actually rang the Czech embassy today to find out if that was the correct pronunciation. So it's Tutsimak, with a kind of long vowel at the end there. And the reason the rum side of it was taken away from the name was because they use sugar beet as an ingredient instead of sugar cane. And you know the way the EU are about these ingredients, right? So they've now hit another glitch where the European Union were actually going to ban the drink altogether, okay, because it contained an ingredient called furan, which apparently is a cancer-causing ingredient.
Okay,
right?
That's not good.
Now, the Czech Republic, or the producers of this particular liqueur, were not particularly happy, so they appealed to the European Union, and this particular drink has been given a stay of execution. So they've got to come up with a new recipe, get rid of the furan, obviously, try and keep the same taste, obviously, and they've got 5 years in which to do that. But I thought this story was interesting because this is a classic situation where the EU are meddling in what can be perceived popularly within a country as their, you know, something that's central to their culture. And in this case, they've decided to back off a little bit. And give the 5-year stay of execution.
Ah, okay, isn't that interesting? Especially given the Czech Republic is one of those countries that's perhaps not too keen about taking in their quota of of refugees.
Yeah, I think I can agree with you on that. Yeah.
Ah, right, interesting. But it's not called Rome anymore.
It's not. It's just Tutsimak.
Yeah. Just in case you're looking for it in your carry out. Right, Cameroon. We're going to now. Now villages have been burned down. We don't know who did the burning, but perhaps we could have suspects.
So there's this ongoing conflict in Cameroon, which month by month is getting worse, right? So far, 38 military have been killed and a couple of hundred rebels have been killed in fighting, which has been restricted to two regions, the northwest and the southwestern regions of Cameroon, which are pretty much the English-speaking areas. Okay, the rest of the country is mainly French-speaking, and that's the centre of the conflict, all right? So there's these ongoing battles, and of course there's a propaganda war around this, right? So we know that last week 8 villages in the English-speaking northwestern region were torched, okay, and destroyed. The army and separatists were fighting in this area, and the army have said that separatists did it, and of course separatists have said that the army did it, that when the separatists fled, the conflict was over, the separatists fled, the army came in afterwards and they torched the villages to the ground. Mm. It looks as if it might well have been the army. That's what witnesses are saying, according to various different sources who are not based in Cameroon, it should be said. That witnesses are saying that the army came in after the separatists fled and they burnt the villages to the ground.
Yeah, who lived in these villages?
Well, these would have been, I assume, the local population. They were mainly farmers, which is another problem because they won't be able to go about their work now. Yeah. They're too frightened to go back. And I assume they would have been English-speaking, the general population in this area, who are the ones who, of course, suffer in these conflicts as we know all too well. But you can see where this is going, you know. It's small scale now, and the next thing you know, it's going to, hopefully not, but it might turn into a bigger conflict. And at the same time, nobody's talking. The separatists are saying, we're not budging, we want cessation, and Paul Biya is basically saying, there won't be anything like that on my watch.
Yeah, so. And you can see that if you're going to support these people, we'll burn your village to the ground.
Yes,
And even more than that, possibly. Right, we're going to go to Swaziland next, but it's not Swaziland any longer. Where are we? What's it called?
That's it. That's why we're going there the second time in 2 weeks, which we don't go to this place anymore, but it'll be the last time we go to Swaziland. It is now going to be called Eswatini, with a small e at the beginning. And that is from an edict that was issued last week by King Maswati III, he of the 15 wives we spoke about last year. Last week. So this country got independence in 1968, but unlike many other countries in the area, it didn't revert back to its original name. It kept a mixture of Swazi and land, which is English and the local language. But now it's gone back to its original name, so it'll be known forevermore as Eswatini.
Eswatini. And why now? Was there any particular reason?
It had been mooted for years, to be honest with you. But the king has just made the declaration. I don't know. Again, I'm speculating. It may or may not have something to do with the story last week about his wife committing suicide and questions around that. So to deflect from that, what better thing to do than a bit of, you know, nationalism to rally the country around you?
Presumably, it would be a popular move. I imagine it costs a lot of money, though, if you change the name of the country. You'd have to change the banknotes and the passports.
True. Yeah, and the constitution.
And the constitution, all sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I don't know how many people in Eswatini have passports, but
don't know either. Well, there's 1.3 million of them. So
Rich country by any stretch of imagination. No. Right, okay. Australia we're going to now, and a bit of a row over peacocks.
There is. This is in Canberra, apparently, where they're overrun by peacocks. So the local government there are proposing an annual trapping program to prevent the spread of the population going out further outside of the city and into various different, what would you call them, parks, you know, where national parks where, you know, the indigenous birds and various different flora and fauna would be disturbed by peacocks. They're not from that part of the world originally, obviously. They're originally from South Asia and they were brought there by the British, but apparently the place is overrun with them. Mm. So they're proposing this, as I said, and the consultation is going to be open until June the 8th. Now, the interesting thing about it is not everybody's happy about it. Some people think they're great to have around the place and they're nice and colourful, but most people seem to think that they're very noisy, particularly during the mating season. And if you want to look that up, it's a horrendous noise that they make during that time of the year. And there's also various other complaints around them nearly causing accidents and the like. So there must be hundreds, if not thousands of them around the place to cause such a fuss. They did try this twice before, where they trapped them in 2013 and 2015. But if they didn't find a home for them, they released them back out and onto the streets, effectively. Yeah. But now, if they can't find a home for them, they are going to send them to peacock heaven as such.
Oh dear, they're going to go and live on a farm.
Animals often do.
According to Tony, apparently the reason he changed the name of his country to Eswatini is because he got fed up with people mixing up Swaziland with Switzerland. Yes, that happens all the time.
I hadn't heard that, but it's... Yes.
Brazil, we're going to now, and this is the Lula controversy. Explain what the Lula controversy is.
Yeah, so this is former President Lula who, is in jail, to be honest with you. I mean, he was charged and convicted back in January of accepting there's a good few charges against him, but in this particular case, he apparently accepted a beachfront triplex apartment from a construction company called OAS, okay, because they then went on and got contracts with the national oil company Petrobras, all right? So he was appealing that, and he also said that he didn't want to go to jail for the time between the conviction and the appeal. Mm. But last week, the Brazilian courts basically said, no, you're going into the slammer. Okay, so a housing group that goes around the country occupying vacant apartments and houses decided that they would take over the apartment in question. Okay, mm-hmm. They basically are saying that if the apartment is Lula's, the people can stay, and if not, then why is he in jail? So they're hanging on there, and they're making a bit of a political rally around this. So the leader of this particular group, this housing group, is Guilherme Boulos, and he is actually running for president. So there's presidential elections there in October, and he is saying very interestingly, he is saying that if he becomes president, he will give Lula a pardon. Okay, Lula himself was supposed to be running for the presidency in October.
Yeah.
But of course, now that he's in jail and now that he's conviction, it seems unlikely that he will be allowed, although there is still a slight possibility that they might put him on the ticket.
But if you're a supporter of Lula, you might then now vote for this new chap.
This is what the idea would be, I think.
Oh, it's all a bit opportunistic, isn't it? Right, Alabama we're going to next, and an execution has taken place, but I suppose it's the age of the person that's the story here.
Yeah, it's a story of a man by the name of Walter Moody Jr. who was executed last week on Thursday in Atmore in Alabama. He was 83 years old, and I just thought when I read the headline that was staggering, really, to be honest with you.
How long had he been on death row for?
Yeah, he's there since he was convicted in 1991. Now, he sent a parcel bomb to a judge and to a human rights activist. So, I mean, he always denied it, but it seems fairly sure that he was the man who carried out these attacks. But that said,
27 years in prison.
It's a very long time. And then there's appeals and delays in the appeals. And then they did the usual thing where they sent the last minute appeals and they stopped it for a couple of hours. And then they said, no, we're not going to listen to your appeal Thursday night, which must surely be against the whole cruel and unusual.
It depends what your definition of cruel and unusual.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it depends what judge you get as to what's cruel and unusual. Right, in the minute or so we have left, tell us what to look out for in the coming week or so.
Yeah, so Wednesday, we're just looking at it there on the screens, but tomorrow evening Macron will be addressing US Congress. On Saturday, and this is a very interesting one, the European Union finance ministers will be meeting in Sofia to discuss plans to tax the digital economy.
Mm.
So that's something
for Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. Something
well.
To watch on the sidelines there. Yeah. I wonder how much that'll be reported here. Yeah. But anyway, and then in Gabon, there's National Assembly elections on the Saturday as well.
Excellent stuff. Jonathan, thanks a million for coming into us. Jonathan De Burka Butler there. We'll take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.